This will be English now, and we will have a look on another cloud management software, which is called CloudStack. And Sebastian
Goesgen
will tell us something. Applause.
Danke. I don't speak German, so danke, and that's it. French, English, and Spanish, so it will be in English. I work for Citrix, but exclusively on Apache CloudStack, and we have a booth down there. So come talk to me if you're interested to discuss a little bit more about CloudStack. What I wanted to do today is, you know, go a little bit beyond just talking about, you know, yet another cloud platform, and also address the issue of big data, because everybody talks about big data and cloud. So I wanted to, you know, kind of cover the two ideas and see how they merge, and see how in CloudStack we can use big data, and also what are the tools out there that anybody can can check and use to deploy big data in the cloud. Follow me on Twitter, and you can also get ask me questions there and so on. So the Google Trends is it's a nice visualization of what's going on in terms of people's interest in on different search terms. So if you put cloud computing, virtualization, and so on, you see that virtualization has been fairly flat across the last six or so years. That's the orange. Cloud has really picked up. That's the red, and of course that's the new term that started late 2007. So we see that huge uptick in cloud in red. And what we see at the bottom right, the green, that's really the big data. So we see really big data picking up, and there's tons of news out there, Twitter, you name it, where we talk about big data. It's a little bit interesting because, in fact, Hadoop was given to the Apache Software Foundation, I think in 2007, 2008. So big data, we should have seen that uptick much sooner and even before clouds. But, we are seeing it now since, 2011. The other way to look at this is to look at the Gartner hype cycle, which puts all the IT technologies in that that curve, where you have the trigger when everybody starts talking about those technologies. So we see them coming up in the trigger, lots of interest, even if we don't know what that is. We are very interested in new technologies, and then you reach the peak of expectation or inflated expectation. Everybody starts using those technologies, it goes down. You reach the throw of disillusion when everybody realizes that that's not going to solve all my problems, and then people get hard at work and you try to get some productivity out of it. So if we look at a fairly recent hype cycle, you see that cloud platforms, so things like CloudStack, OpenStack, OpenNebula, and Eucalyptus, just to name the four big sisters in the world of open source, you see that they're actually reaching the disillusion state. Okay, I'm very optimistic about those technologies, but the fact is that that's where they are. And when you look at big data is on the trigger. So big data, you see lots of excitement about big data. So those two technologies are a different part of the cycle, which explains also the Google Trends. So what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about big data in general, then I'll introduce CloudStack, see how they relate, and especially in the context of the Apache Software Foundation, and then I'll show some tools, some examples of how you can use big data in CloudStack, and then I'll show some tools and hopefully a quick demo. So, big data, most people think about it in terms of very large-scale data sets, and systems like Hadoop are really here to help us manage petabytes of data. And certainly big companies, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, they have petabytes of data, but not everybody has petabytes. And that's what Hadoop helps you manage. Another trait of big data, it's that it doesn't have to be extremely large to be a big data analytics problem. You could also have very complex data sets and very complex unstructured data. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind, is that it's not only big, but it can be relatively small. Let's say, you know, even a few hundred gigabytes or terabyte, but it could be complex data that's hard to mine, hard to understand. So large scale and complex data set. I like to give the example of the IBM Watson computer that played Jeopardy in the U.S. You know, it made a lot of noise because the computer actually played Jeopardy, where you know they give you responses and then you have to find what's the question. And actually, the data set that was used by IBM Watson was only a few hundred gigabytes, but they have a very big cluster to actually in real time, you know, analyze all the different possibilities. The software that they use at the root was actually UIMA, which is in the Apache Software Foundation, and of course Hadoop is also in the Apache Software Foundation. Big data is really a natural evolution from, you know, traditional file system and databases, where we had, you know, MySQL and Postgres and so on, and also distributed file systems, PVFS, that's one system for high performance computing that is used, Lustre, things like this. And what we've seen is really kind of a relaxation of the boundary condition, or the, you know, what's expected of those systems. So relational database, they have evolved towards, you know, key value stores like Redis, document store like MongoDB, CouchDB, and then the parallel the distributed file system, they've moved toward things like Hadoop. Okay, so those are things where you have, you know, instead of trying to deal with all the semantics of general file systems, now they are trying to address, you know, write once and then read many, many times, but try to handle very large scale, okay, which the distributed file system that had POSIX semantics, they were extremely difficult to use to manage, you know, that large scale. So it's really a natural evolution with some relaxation on the, you know, what you're trying to get out of those storage systems. Also, one thing that's going on with big data is that, you know, we tend to make a little bit of a mistake when we think about big data, the large scale, and at the same time we think about MapReduce. So, you know, Hadoop is not MapReduce. Hadoop is really the file system, or the way to store the data at large scale, and MapReduce is really an algorithm. You could do MapReduce on a single machine. You could do MapReduce without Hadoop. You could write just, you know, Python to do MapReduce, and it's just, you know, a way to express the parallel processing of your data. Okay, so you want to store data at very large scale, and then you want to process that data. Instead of making a query, you actually write a parallel program that's going to go through all of that data and try to extract information. So I'm putting this slide here because it's important, you know, at least in my view, to understand that big data is not just MapReduce, and big data is not just HDFS, and HDFS is not, you know, MapReduce. And for example, there are different techniques coming out right now from a good startup in Silicon Valley called Basho. They came up with an object store, React.cs, that they just open sourced actually, and they have their own MapReduce implementation on that data store. So that's just the basic introduction on big data. So now CloudStack, or I should say Apache CloudStack, because now we are top level projects in Apache. So it's just, you know, it's an implementation to do public cloud and private cloud. So it's at the infrastructure as a service layer. When we talk about cloud, we have the IaaS layer, the platform, the SaaS. Nothing really new there, except that, you know, we have APIs at all layers. And definitely, you know, it's equivalent or in playing in the same field as those other systems that we know about. Eucalyptus being the first system that came out as an Amazon EC2 clone, you know, from the University of California, Santa Barbara. OpenStack, of course, we hear a lot about OpenStack, and I believe there's a full session on OpenStack. Open Nebula, which is the European project from Spain. Overt, you know, being pushed by Red Hat, and Ganeti, which is fairly new, which is really driven by Google. So those are kind of like the main players in that field of infrastructure as a service, and CloudStack, you know, is definitely one of them. In my view, there is really no benefit in trying to go feature by feature comparison. So I'm not going to try to compare those you know, those systems, I think the best thing for a company to do is actually to have a test period where you try to evaluate some of those solutions and you basically do a bake-off. What infrastructure as a service really is, it's a data center orchestrator. So you have, you know, data storage, you store that data, you need to move it on the network, and then you need to process it. So an orchestrator needs to be able to manage those three basic functions. At the same time, you know, those systems, they need to handle failures, and that's probably the big thing with all the internet computing and the adoption of community hardware, is that now we have very large data centers, you know, not 100 machines, but thousands, tens of thousands. Not everybody, but, you know, it's out there. So those orchestrators, they need to handle failures, you know, gracefully adapt when, you know, failure happens. And they need to support large scale, as I said, and CloudStack can support 20,000 hypervisors. And also, you know, a big issue in terms of cloud is that they are programmable. So all of them, I mean, now, you know, it's almost a given that any of those cloud systems, at whatever layer, they expose an API. I mean, it started with all the Google services. If you take the calendar, the Google Docs, you know, all those services, they expose an API that everybody can use. But at the YaaS layer, we also have an API. And, you know, I'm not going to debate on the standardization of those YaaS API, but that's a big feature that you need to be able to program your data center. Okay, that's why VMware actually talks about software-defined data center. You need to be able to write program to manage what's happening in the data center. So CloudStack, you know, it's an open-source infrastructure as a service solution. It's a programmable data center orchestrator. If you don't like cloud, you know, basically. You can program what's happening in your data center. It's hypervisor agnostic, so whether you're using, you know, Zen Server, XCP, Zen, now in the Linux Foundation, whether you're using a KVM or a VMware hypervisor, you know, you can use it. We try to support all the hypervisors that are out there, including, you know, Hyper-V. We have development going on to include Hyper-V. That's for the data processing part of things. Now, for the data storage, you know, we support scalable storage system, and I'm going to go in a little bit more details with this, but we support things like Ceph, that most of you, you know, must have heard on, which is a very large-scale object store and also file system, even though it may not be extremely reliable, and React.cs that I already mentioned, GlusterFS also is supported, things like this. So that's the storage. Now for the networking, you know, when you start dealing with virtual machines and you know, you suffer from virtual machine sprawl, and one of the big issues is really how to handle the networking of all those virtual machines, how to handle, you know, the different tenants that you have in your cloud, how to give them firewall, you know, between each other, load balancers, and so on. So that's one of the big challenges, networking in the data center. So CloudStack, you know, enables you to do this. The little bit of history is that it started as a startup in the Silicon Valley. You know, after a while, the code was open sourced, and then in 2011, Citrix acquired that startup. And as part of the strategy, they gave the software to the Apache Software Foundation. So that was in April 2012. A year after, roughly a year after the donating the software, the CloudStack got out of incubation, and we're now a top-level project within Apache. And what that means really is that we have now a solid community that is developing the software and also using it, and, you know, participating in the life really of the software. So we have a solid community going on. Why the Apache Software Foundation? Well, you know, the idea was that when you see what's going on in cloud and in big data, it's very difficult these days to develop a piece of software kind of in silo. So you want to put it under the governance of, you know, a good foundation, so that you can build a community, build an ecosystem, and help, you know, people integrate their solution with your setup. And ASF was really, you know, one of the best open source foundation out there. So it was a clear choice for us. In terms of community, I just want to show you, you know, some numbers here. In terms of individual contributor, every month, So you see that we have, you know, two main lists in CloudStack, the users in red and the developers in blue. And you see that monthly now we have arrived at roughly, you know, 200 contributors on both lists. Okay, so that gives you an idea on the size of the community. So every month, 200. In terms of companies, same thing. You have, you know, companies in the user side and on the developer side. What's interesting is that, you know, right now, a couple months ago, we actually saw the number of companies using CloudStack actually get larger than the number of companies helping develop it. So we have a very fast-growing user base. Basically, if you accumulate everything, you know, we're roughly at 400 companies or so that help with the development of CloudStack. So companies like SendGuard, Schuberg Philips in the Netherlands, I mean Citrix, obviously, LeaseWeb. I mentioned LeaseWeb and Schuberg Philips because they are companies from Europe in the Netherlands, and they help a lot with the development of the setup of the software. So let's have a look now. You know, now that we covered big data and a little bit about CloudStack, let's talk about the Apache Software Foundation, because that's the link that I saw between the two. If you look at the ASF, you know, you have if you develop in Java, you have all the tools that you know, Ant, Maven, and things like this. You also have, you know, Spam Assassin, Tomcat, the web server, of course, HTTP. It's on there, but you also have Hadoop, HBase, CouchDB, Cassandra is in there, Delta Cloud. So we are seeing more and more software that are cloud-related and big data-related join the ASF. So that, you know, that gave me an idea that, you know, ASF was a nice place where, you know, the two were actually kind of converging. So I looked at the a little bit in detail, all the projects that are under the ASF. So you have two things. You have the top level projects that, you know, they have demonstrated that they can live, you know, on their own. They have a solid community and they know how to operate. They know how to release software and things like this. And then you have the incubation. That's where the new projects get in and where they learn all the Apache processes. So currently in the incubator at the Apache, you have 35 projects. And you have 11 Hadoop-related projects. So that's at least 30% of the incubator at the ASF is big data. Okay. If you look at the top-level projects, it's 116 projects, and you have roughly 14 cloud or big data-related. So it's, you know, a little bit over 10%. Okay. So that's pretty significant, I think. With the type of software that you're seeing things like Delta Cloud and Leap Cloud, which are wrappers on top of the APIs, a way that all the people have addressed the API standardization issue is actually to use a wrapper. So Delta Cloud and Leap Cloud give you a single interface to all the different cloud providers out there. Of course, Hadoop, CouchDB, Cassandra, and then you have, you know, lots of things in terms of search, data search, natural language processing that are tools needed for the big data analytics. Cumulo, Lucene, and so on. And then you have CloudStack, of course, now a top-level project. So the entire Hadoop ecosystem is actually under the ASF. HBase, Hadoop, so MapReduce, you know, comes within Hadoop, but as a different part of the... It's not the file system itself. Mahout, which is the machine learning system, is also part of there. So if you're looking for big data, the entire ecosystem lives within ASF, and it makes sense to actually look at CloudStack in view of this. So how do the two get together? So CloudStack is a data center orchestrator, and you can basically use big data in two different ways. You can either use a big data solution as a storage backend to your orchestrator, okay, or you can use big data as a workload of your cloud. Okay, so that those are the two different aspects of it. Okay, so CloudStack needs different types of storage. It needs an image catalog to store all the images for the customers of your cloud. That's where you can put an object store, which is, you know, big data qualified, let's say. And then you can also launch instances that have big data solutions in those instances. And now you're talking about, you know, Hadoop on demand, MapReduce on demand, Elastic MapReduce, and things like this. Okay, so those are the two, you know, type of approach. So looking at CloudStack, you know, in terms of storage, we have two different types of storage. It's always weird because I always start with the second type of storage. So the secondary storage, it's a storage that's available across the data center, and that's where you store all the virtual machine images. Okay, that's your image catalog. And right now it can be as simple as NFS, but we also, you know, have an object store, a pure S3, Amazon S3 based object store that can be used as an image catalog. So now you're talking about, you know, taking your images and doing a put on that object store, and when you need that image, you just do a get. So Gluster can be used, Ceph as a block store implementation, React, yes, OpenStack, Swift can be used, Karingo if you want actually a commercial solution. So those are object store solutions that have been tested with CloudStack and can be used to just hold those images as an image catalog. I don't see happening, you know, an image catalog of petabytes of data, but at least, you know, several hundred you know, terabytes, you could get that. So now the primary storage, that's the storage that's used when you actually run an instance. So when you want to start an instance in your cloud, you're going to fetch the image from that, you know, image catalog object store. It's going to be placed on the hypervisor, and it's going to be placed in storage specific to that hypervisor. Okay, so you know, you want fast storage enabled for that. You know, when the instance is running, and you could do NFS if you want, iSCSI, but you can also do Ceph, and that's a new feature in there. Ceph, you know, can do petabytes as well. So you could provide, you know, tons of data to those running instances, not only the images, but actually the volumes attached to it. So imagine customers of your clouds that need, you know, terabytes of data volumes attached to those instances. You know, you can use Ceph and attach them. So, you know, as I said, you can use a big data as a secondary storage. And here, you know, the intent that I mentioned here is not to use that data inside the virtual machines, okay? It's really to provide it inside. So let me, you know, move forward because I just got the 10-minute flash here. One thing interesting in CloudStack is that you can do bare metal provisioning. So you can mix virtual machines and bare metal. So a traditional setup, you would just have a farm of hypervisor in your data center and then that object store serving those images. But let's bring in bare metal. Now you have the hypervisors where you run your VM. You have a secondary storage that provides those VM. And you could have bare metal nodes, so there you would have, you could create a Hadoop cluster, but on physical machine. So now that starts being interesting because you're mixing in your data center, you're mixing hypervisors to provision VMs, and you're mixing a hardware-based, you know, physical server Hadoop system. You could extend that, just remove the secondary storage and make that just a bare metal Hadoop. Okay, so you have the pure performance of Hadoop sitting on physical servers. Or you could just, you know, get rid, say, hey, I actually don't want to offer virtual machines instances. You know, I just want to manage a Hadoop cluster. So using the bare metal capability of CloudStack, you can just say, forget about VMs, I just want storage. Let me manage my Hadoop cluster. Through CloudStack. Of course, you can combine this, and now you get into some very interesting scenarios where you could reconfigure your cloud on demand. Let's say that, you know, at some instant in time, you just need hypervisors providing VM instances. You know, you have that. Suddenly, your load on the request of instances diminishes, and you have requests for data. So reprogram, reprovision your data center, and just put a big data solutions on there. So you start getting into lots of different scenarios, and of course, you know, the big thing is that, you know, make sure you don't overwrite any of your data as you become you know, very dynamic in the way you configure that that data center. So that was really using big data as, you know, as a back end to CloudStack. Now, of course, you could just have a pure cloud and just provision big data clusters on it. So you're talking about Hadoop on demand. People talk about, you know, one-click Hadoop clusters. And to do that, you know, you have tools out there. Apache Weir is definitely, you know, the leading system. It's in the Apache Software Foundation. It allows you to deploy Hadoop, Cloudera distribution, HBase, Yarn for MapReduce, you know, all of that. So just install Weir on your systems, and then you can start provisioning those clusters on any clouds. Underneath, Weir uses an interface, JClouds. You know, I was talking about Delta Cloud, Leap Cloud, that are wrapper on all those cloud providers. So JCloud is one of them. It's also in the Apache Software Foundation. I should be paid by the Apache Software Foundation. But basically, Weir uses JClouds, and it can talk to any of those systems. So look at JClouds if you don't know it. So a little bit of it's not code. It's just a Weir configuration. You know, just to give you an idea. You define a cluster name, and then you define instances. So you say, hey, I want that many, I want one name node, and then I want that many data node in my Hadoop cluster. You define the provider. So here I define CloudStack as a provider. You define keys. You define the functions to install your Hadoop cluster. You define the service offering. So if you want, you know, 8 cores for those data nodes, 16 cores, you know, amount of RAM, you define that instance type. You define the endpoint. So remember I mentioned that those clouds, you know, they had to be programmable, so they have an endpoint that, you know, serves that API. So you define that endpoint, and then you define the image that you're going to use for that cloud. Once you have this, you just launch a cluster. So I'm just going to try to give you a demo because it's going to be a little bit more interesting. So if you do Weir, you would just do Weir launch cluster. You point to a configuration file. You can see that? Yeah. So what I just showed you on the slide, it's in that file, hadoop.properties. So when you start this, I'm launching it from my laptop. When you launch this, basically it's talking to that cloud endpoint. It's actually a public cloud running in Switzerland. It's running CloudStack. And it's talking to that endpoint, and it's saying, hey, I want one name node, and then I want three data nodes for my Hadoop cluster. So provision those instances using Ubuntu, and then it's going to SSH on those instances, and then install Hadoop. Okay, so it's going to do all of that using Weir automatically. So we'll get back to it. That's the interface. That's the interface of the cloud. It's exoscale.ch. If you're looking for a public cloud out there, so you see that actually the instances have started. So I have four. I have a name node and three data nodes, and they are booting. So it seems to be working. And we'll get back to it once I finish the slides. There are other tools than Weir, of course. Brooklyn is one solution. Apache Provisioner is also, you know, in the Apache Foundation. And I wanted to finish with this one, which is Palette. If some of you are into Clojure, which is a dynamic programming language, you know, look at Palette. It's exactly the same idea as Weir. But basically, you're going to write the definition of your big data infrastructure, and it's going to hit a public cloud and then provision everything. What's interesting with Clojure is that there is also a CloudStack client in Clojure, developed by one of the engineers at Exoscale, which is the cloud that I'm using. And it's interesting because, you know, in big data, not only do you have Hadoop, okay, you have other things out there. One of them is Storm, which is a real-time data processing system, you know, from Twitter. So you can create a Storm cluster to basically receive feeds from all your data that's regenerated in real time, and you can create an Elastic cluster that's going to process all of that data. So there is some code out there to actually provision a Storm cluster on demand on public clouds, okay, and it's written in Clojure. So one of the things I'm going to work on is actually make sure that we can use that to provision a Storm cluster on demand on CloudStack clouds. So what's going on, you know, big data development, I just mentioned one. Definitely there's a lot of work going on in trying to have better integration of Hadoop within CloudStack. And one of the examples is, for example, to provide an elastic MapReduce API. For those of you who know AWS, there's a very nice API so that you can submit MapReduce jobs, and it's automatically going to scale your cluster as you get more load on them. There's also integration of the Basho MapReduce system that's coming up in the July release of CloudStack. Interestingly, we're also in the Google Summer of Code, and there we're going to have several projects. I'm not allowed to say it's already awarded, but it's in the works. And we're going to have more work going on Apache Weir. And then we're also going to integrate Mesos. If you don't know about Mesos, look it up. It's actually a data processing system used by Google. And it runs on top of Hadoop or basic MPI, for those of you who know parallel programming. So Mesos is a new type of batch processing system, and we're going to integrate Mesos properly with a CloudStack-based cloud. So stop by the booth. I'm down the hall over there where there is nobody. Tomorrow I'll have t-shirts, so stop by. Look at the website, cloudstack.org. We are on IRC, we are on Twitter. Look it up. And if I look at my demo here, where do we stand? Okay, great. So it finished. We got a bunch of ugly output, and then at the end you get a command that tells you how you can connect to your cloud. So now I've created a Hadoop cluster in that public cloud, and I'm on the head node, so I can just do ls, because I'm running out of time. Hopefully that works.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was just created on demand right now. In 2 minutes, I have a 4-node Hadoop cluster, and now I can start messing with MapReduce and so on. So I think I'm out of time, so thank you very much, and stop by the booth.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sebastian. We have a few minutes left for some questions, if there are any.
Hello. As I understood, the CloudStack does not only focus on virtual machine, but also on physical bare metal provisioning.
Yes.
What?
It's a feature that used to be in previous CloudStack releases. It got dropped. We had a lack of support, and it's coming back in the 4.2 release for this summer. So in July.
What kind of technology is behind that? I mean, you can install...
It's relatively basic Pixie booting Kickstart file.
So it's an automatic installation?
It what?
So it's an automatic installation?
Yes.
Okay, that's okay.
And how far does it go compared to Puppet or other software configuration management software? Is it full software configuration?
You would use Puppet in combination with CloudStack. So, once you deploy the images, you do need to configure them. There is no configuration management in CloudStack itself.
But Weir does not replace Puppet or any other.
Weir doesn't. No, that's not aimed as a replacement for Puppet.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. In the name of Linux Tag, thank you very much.
Dankeschön.